Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to welcome you to this video. The purpose of this video is we need to make an addendum and a disclaimer leading into the video that you are about to see. The video that you are about to see is video number 5 in a series of videos that have been released on this channel this week on the issue of King James Gnosticism. And so some things have changed slightly and that are related to the video that you are about to see, video number 5 in this series. And so I need to go on the record right now before that video starts and update the audience on some things that they are about to see. Okay. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because AV Publications, Gail Ripplinger's ministry, has stopped selling Gary Roverino's book as of yesterday, Wednesday, December 18. I am recording this, as you can see down here in the corner, this addendum or disclaimer. I'm recording this Thursday morning, December 19. So yesterday, the book, Gary Roverino's first book, was removed from the AV Publications website. Okay, so I need to document a few things. I need to get some things in the public record before the audience watches the rest of this video, which was recorded. What you're going to see in the bulk of this video is the conversation that Nate and I had and recorded on Sunday morning, December 15. Sunday morning, December 15, this video was recorded. And so now it's Thursday, December 19, and I'm making this addendum. Okay. Now, here's our first video. This was released on Monday, December 16, 2024. And in the video, we showed Gail Ripplinger's website, okay, the Authorized Version Publications website. This is the crest of it. Here's is the website right here. So this is avpublications.com. Here's the crest. And so you can see from this video window here that I was sharing my screen and we were looking at Gail's website. And I scroll down here and show some things, okay? What I show, so here is the AV Publications crest again in this image, okay? And then I scrolled down and I showed this statement here about authors you can trust. And we can see there's Gary Roverino's first book right there, Concealed from Christians from the Glory of God, available for sale for $19.95 on the AV Publications website as depicted in the first video right here from December 16. So it is indisputable that this book was being sold on the AV Publications website prior to yesterday afternoon, Wednesday, December 18, okay? So here is a screenshot taken at 1:40 p.m. yesterday on the 18th. That would be Wednesday. And you can see that the book is no longer listed. Let me just show you more about that quickly. So here's the book. It's listed for sale between Joey Faust's book, God Will Keep It, and Brandon Peterson's book, Sealed by the King. There it is on the website, okay? And here it is as of yesterday. Here's Joey Faust's book. Here's Brandon Peterson's book. And Gary's book is no longer available on the website between these two, as you can see clearly from these images, okay? So, and then from this image, again, this was first. I've been checking the AV Publications website for a long time. And I noticed for the first time yesterday that this was missing from the website. And again, this was on December 18. That was Wednesday, yesterday, at 1:40 p.m. is when I realized it had been taken off of the website. Okay. Now, for further confirmation of this, let's go to the AV Publications website. You can search the website. So I've typed in here Concealed from Christians. You hit go to run the search. And you can see that there are no products found matching the selection when it is very clear that this book was being offered for quite a long time before it has been now taken off of the website. Okay. Now, let me be clear. I have no evidence that Gail Ripplinger ever sold Gary's second book that came out last month, but she was selling the first book and it has been removed. Now, what is interesting about this is the date here of this being removed on Wednesday the 18th of December is that that is the same day that our third video in the series, King James Gnosticism, was released, where we analyzed the prophetic, apostolic, and prophetic claims, unpacking and analyzing the argumentation of Gary Roverino, Part 2. So of all of the videos that had surfaced Monday we dealt with the introduction and awareness of Gary. Tuesday, we dealt with math and numerology. Wednesday, yesterday, we dealt with apostolic and prophetic claims. This is the same day that it was taken off the website. I checked Monday, I checked Tuesday, I checked Wednesday morning, and then Wednesday afternoon, and that is when I found that the book had been removed from the website. Okay. The other thing I want to point out is that video number one that aired on December 16 and showed Gail's website. If you watch this video, you starting at the 28-minute, 6-second mark, and you watch it, you can see me scrolling this website, and you can see just barely the cover of Gary's book right here. Here's Joey Faust's book. Here's Brandon Peterson's book. Gary's book was right in the middle, okay? Now, the other thing I just want to say is that this video that premiered on December 16, Monday, was actually recorded on November 19. So, here's the video on my Google Drive. I'm wearing this gray hooded sweatshirt, the same one I'm wearing now, the same one I was wearing here in the first video that premiered on December 16. The video that premiered on December 16 was actually recorded on November 19, as the Dropbox data demonstrates. Okay, so if you jump into the calendar here, you can see that the 19th of November was a Tuesday, the week before Thanksgiving. And you can see plainly, if you look at the video, that the book was for sale on the website at that point. Okay? So, why am I being meticulous here? I'm being meticulous to document the fact that Gary's first book was absolutely sold on the AV Publications website for months. Now it is no longer available, coinciding with the day that the video, the third video about unpacking Gary's apostolic and prophetic claims, was aired on this channel. So what you're going to see in the video, video number five, that I'm going to flip to here in a second, this documentation, this disclaimer here that I'm recording, is to put into the public space what's going on, lest we be charged with lying, which has, frankly, already started to occur in some of the comments, okay? So it's really important that we set the record straight on this and put the documentation into the public space, because the website has been scrubbed of the book. I'm not going to speculate as to why that is. Hopefully, we can get an explanation from AV Publications as to why this occurred, as well as the timing of when it occurred. So with that being said, we're going to flip this over now to video number five, where Nate and I have our last conversation for now in this particular series, where we are covering in this video the connection between Gail Ripplinger and Gary Roverino. Thanks for your attention. I hope you enjoy the conversation. I know you were expecting this to be thrown over to my conversation with Nate for our fifth and final talk, but there is one more piece of evidence that I would like to add to this addendum disclaimer here that we're adding to the front of this video, and that is this piece of evidence right here. This is an email, Free Chapter 17 from Concealed from Christians. This is from Gail Ripplinger herself, and this is the newsletter being sent from avpublications.com, and this is dated Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023, so this is well over a year ago. You can see here the crest or insignia of the AV Publications website, and this is advertising to those who are supporters and on Gail Ripplinger's newsletter email, the new book, Concealed from Christians, For the Glory of God, G. John Rove, 1995. And again, that's this book right here, Gary Roverino's first book from 2019. It says click here to purchase, and then notice, how did we miss it? Just now, computers and software are allowing us to dive deeply like a microscope to see more of God's glory, shown only in the King James Bible, not in the ESV, NIV, New King James, or other modern English counterfeits. God said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, Romans 5:20. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, Daniel 12:4. Did we not read where 42,000 people died over one missing letter in a Bible, Judges 12:6? If even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, Luke 12:7, moment by moment by God, would he not number and count his holy scriptures? So again, this is something that Gary is talking about in the book. In our second video or third video, I can't remember which now, we talked about Methuselah and the math thing. This is straight from Gary's book. Methuselah's last day was in his 969th year. The last time his name appears in Luke 3:37, it's the 969th word in the chapter. It goes on. The first and last verses of the King James Bible each have 44 letters. The 444th word is God, which appears 4,444 times, while the 444th and fourth word is God. So this is, again, the counting. Then it says, these examples are a glint from the tip of a deep, hidden iceberg, referring to statements that are made in the book by Gary Roverino. See the rest for yourself in this book, Concealed from Christians for the Glory of God, the 1611 KJV, G. John Rove, 1995. Click here to purchase. There is the cover of the book. Explore the King James Bible's mathematical order. And then there was a free sample chapter of chapter 17, which is obviously now no longer on the website as of Wednesday, December 18. So we can see very clearly here that this is a dated, time-stamped email straight from Gail Ripplinger to her supporters with the crest of the AV Publications website, clearly advocating and promoting, advertising and selling Concealed from Christians from at least November 22nd, 2023. And again, this was removed on Wednesday, December 18, 2024, the same day the third video in this series was released. Now, the reason this email is important is because when we get to our conversation, you are going to see some evidence presented where a comment is left on Gary Roverino's, one of his latest videos about the He-She Bible, which is a whole other topic that we might make a video on depending on if we choose to do so. But there's a comment left that references the receipt of an email from Gail Ripplinger advertising and promoting Gary Roverino's first book, Concealed from Christians. This is that email. There possibly were more, but here is one clear example. So again, Gail Ripplinger promoted this book by Gary, sold it, sent out a newsletter advertising it. So if this book is no longer going to be sold, it would be good to hear an explanation about why this is no longer going to be sold, and why the timing of it no longer, what is the timing now of it no longer being sold? So with this additional piece of information in mind, now we will flip it over to my fifth and final conversation with Nate, where we talk about the connection between Gail Ripplinger and Gary Roverino on the matters of Kabbalism and Gematria. So we commend this conversation to you and hope you enjoy it. Hey everybody, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this video. This is our fifth and final video for now, covering the issue of King James Gnosticism, as we finally titled this in the third video in this series. And I'm privileged to be joined again with my friend Nate Quinga from Hope Under Fire. How are you doing this morning, Nate?
Doing well. Yourself, Brian?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Looking forward to kind of getting this wrapped up. And as always, Nate, we've been starting this series by reading Colossians 4:6 as a way of trying to you know, just center our thinking around trying to be gracious in dealing with this topic, but yet call attention to something that we think is a problem. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And so again, we are seeking to provide an answer to some things that we are troubled by, but we're going to try to do that in an appropriate manner. So Nate, we've got a structured set of notes or script here again, and I think we've discussed that you are going to take the lead on this first segment. So whenever you're ready, Nate, why don't you go ahead and start talking about Gail and Gary?
All right. So, yeah, obviously up until now we've been dealing mostly with Gary Roverino and some of his claims. But a while back when I made that red flag series, I floated out this slippery slope analogy where I said you could go from our friend in Georgia to Gail Ripplinger to Gary Roverino to someone even crazier down the line, because at its core, they're all arguing the same lines. Number one, they're arguing verbatim identicality, but then they're also arguing things that are built on top of that. And Gail came up, and I was challenged to reach out to her directly and get her comment, and I did, and she did email me back, and that went about as well as you would expect any interaction with Gail to go. as you well know how that goes if you're critical of her at all in any way. She did get back to me. It was interesting, to say the least. She failed to provide any good answers to anything that I asked her, but regardless, we want to look at some of her claims now that she's made. As we said in the last video, it is inconsistent to dump on Gary and say Gary's wrong in this King James Gnosticism, and not also look at some of the claims of Gail Ripplinger and her occurrences of Gnosticism. So one of the things I found interesting, and I think you pointed this out first to me, was that Gail Ripplinger sells and recommends Gary's book, Concealed from Christians for the Glory of God, along with all these other authors here. So Sam Gipp, Lawrence Vance, Joey Faust, Jack Mormon, Chick Salaby, people can read the ones on the screen, but basically all these other King James authors, and gives Roverino her full endorsement. So this is the quote right from her website above the other King James author section. So it says, other King James authors looking for quality content from other KJV authors, well, look no further. Here are even more books and resources from other KJV authors that you can trust, enjoy, and grow with. And I think you found this comment just recently, too. So somebody was commenting under one of Gary Roverino's videos on the next page, and says that, just thanking him and then saying in there that he got an email from Gary or from Gail praising Gary's book just recently. So I think Gail is definitely aware of Gary. Now, the reason I say that is because I challenged our friend in Georgia about calling Gary out, but then supporting Gail, and his response to her selling Gary's book was, well, she sells lots of stuff. She probably just didn't realize it was in there. And so it's just maybe an oversight. She never would support it if she knew what he was teaching. But she still sells.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that to sort of be somewhat fair in this conversation, we do have to point out that she is currently selling the first book, yes, Concealed from Christians. As of this morning, there is nothing on the website yet for the second book. So we don't really know at this, the time of this filming, where she stands with respect to the second book. However, she clearly does sell Gary's first book that has a lot of prophetic statements and then a lot of things that we'll see later on in this video. And she says flat out, here's a screenshot from the site right here, Nate. I mean, she says that you can trust this source.
Right.
And so, like, that's more than just randomly selling something.
Right.
And then we could see also, again, from the screenshot that she's actively promoting it.
Right.
And telling people that they should buy it and read it. So.
Right. Yeah, so there's that disconnect sometimes where, let's say she is against Gary on some of his views of the Apocrypha or something like that. She's still selling and promoting his older book as if you can pick which Gary you want to support. And like, just, well, you, as long as you have him at this book, you're fine. Just read whatever. It's fully trusted. But how are, she doesn't issue a warning saying, okay, well, you don't want to go any further. You don't want to read his newer books because they get crazy or anything like that. So if just a casual observer's coming to look for resources and they trust Gale, what are they going to be led into?
They're going to see Gary's book recommended and promoted is what they're going to see.
Right. So, okay. So in addition to selling Gary's first book, Gale is now selling the study notes on the King James Bible on the AV Publications website, sold under the other. So now that brings the total up to 33 books or works in that section. So to this gentleman from Georgia's point, there's no way she's unaware of this. There's only 33 other, including now his book.
Including his own book now.
Yeah, there's only 33 things being sold in that section. So I'm very certain she's aware of everything being sold in that. It isn't a miss site. So study notes on the King James Bible is the flagship of our Georgia friend, who criticized heavily Gary, and warned about his teachings on Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. And so now both those books are being sold. It's almost, a little ironic because if you look them up by pricing, either high to low or low to high, they end up sitting right side by side. So here
they are right next to each other.
Yeah. So you have this little love triangle between the dark blue is angry about the one, the concealed, but being sold on the same website by the one that the blue supports, but not the,
they're both equally trusted sources according to the recommendation on the website.
Right.
And here they are right next to each other in a blown up version of this screenshot right here.
Yep. So, kind of a little ironic, makes you chuckle a little bit because, after coming out with the videos so hard against him, now all of a sudden they're sitting side by side and she's now selling his book with a very, high recommendation that just is a little bit sickening. Her recommendation of his book is just kind of silly. All right. So what brings this into the King James Gnosticism for Gale then is she starts making claims that sound a heck of a lot like Gary, and she's been making them since the, you know, 90s. One of them comes from the book, Language of the King James Bible, and starts there where she starts claiming that letters, have more significance than their, phonetic meaning or the sounds they make within a word. And now they have some sort of built-in intrinsic value that goes beyond, just their phonetics. Again, kind of like the numerology stuff where numbers have this intrinsic value, meaning, significance, that go beyond like what we use them for as a useful tool. And so she, in the King James Bible or the Language of the King James Bible book, she uses the letter I, which I thought was kind of ironic. That was the example she used in that section, which is the same letter, obviously, that is, the ninth in the Gematria, and it's a 1 + 6 + 1 + 1, so 1611, as Gary would say. And so she's using I as her example in her book. And she says, quote, this is from page 85, interesting and unusual phenomenon, can be observed when examining the individual letters of each King James word. So now beyond our friend in Georgia who's saying the words are so important, she's going a step further and saying, no, it's not just words, but the individual letters of that word. And then the origin of most letter shapes. So now we're going down even into the shapes of the letters.
Yeah.
And saying not only the English letters, but Chinese also can be directly tied to their original pictogram, which in turn often depicts a Bible fact. So this is essentially the same thing Gary was claiming in that drop cap video, that letters actually in their shape and in their position teach us Bible doctrine in their pictographs.
Yeah, the biconcave lens and John is received. Yeah, it is the same thing.
Right. You know, so essentially this is exactly the same thing that Gary was saying that brought him to such crazy conclusions. Well, now you have Gale doing this, and Gale doing this back in the 90s, and everybody's just in love with it. So this is why one of the things we say, this is inconsistent. You can't dump on Gary and then just love on Gale.
Yeah, it's completely inconsistent because they're both engaging in the same type of argumentation.
Right. So she goes on and she says, not only are the letters important. So again, we already looked at the individual letters, their shapes, their pictographs, but so is their position in the word. So now she's saying what's going to teach you doctrine is also the position of that letter within the word that it occurs. In her example, again, the letter I is in the midst or in the very middle of many words which describe our precious Savior, which I is in the middle. It's also in the middle of many words describing the counterfeiter Lucifer. And so God is the I am. Even the Chinese character for life looks like an I. So according to Gale, the letters, the individual letters, the shape of the letters, the position of the letters is going to teach us further doctrine. So again, if we're looking at this as Gnosticism, how is that not Gnosticism?
Yeah, because like when I look at English letters, I don't immediately assume any of this without somebody telling me that I have to.
Right.
I've read the King James Bible for years and just read it for what it says and understanding it for what it says and trying to hide it in my heart what it says and let it work effectually without knowing I needed to look at the letters, the shapes of the letters, the positions of the letters.
Right.
And I think she'll probably say something like, well, this is all somehow subliminally being done, right? Like it's like it's happening and you just don't know it unless I tell you.
Subliminal as long as you buy my book and read it. Which I think is hilarious because she's one of those people like our friend in Georgia who dumps on, lexicons and dumps on all kinds of books that would help you define words. And then sells a bunch on her website.
And ultimately writes a dictionary. Her book, The Dictionary Within the King James Bible from 2018, is an actual dictionary.
Right. And I think there's like at least two on there that directly are about the archaic words in the King James Bible written by other authors that she sells, which there are no archaic words in the King James Bible, right? Because that's what our buddy said.
Yeah, she's selling Lawrence Vance's Archaic Words of the King James Bible. And Lawrence Vance in that book, you know, he does sort of argue that, I'd have to reread it. I'll refrain from saying more about that, but go ahead.
All right, so our friend in Georgia, when I challenged him on this, he responded that, you know, with some of this stuff, he's just going to give Gale the benefit of the doubt because he thinks everyone's just misrepresenting her. That's why we're going to go through a whole bunch of quotes and stuff by her so that we don't get accused of just misrepresenting. But my question was, okay, well, why can't you extend that to Richard Jordan? You know, when in the video prior earlier this year, you didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. You didn't reach out to him and ask him for comment of why he changed his mind. With why she's selling Gary Rovarina's book, again, there's only 32 titles at that time. Now there's 33, including our friend from Georgia. She's not unaware of the things that he's saying. And he made it sound like, well, you know, everybody sells his book. And the question I had for him was, well, then does she only care about money? Is she only selling it because she wants to make money? Which obviously he refrained from answering that question. But it was just, it's an odd exchange with some of these people because they want so badly to support someone like Gail, and yet they want to dump all over Gary. And say like he's terrible, he's awful, he's bad, look at all these crazy things he's saying, which I agree, they're pretty crazy, but you have to look critically at other people too, like Gail, and say, you know, we gotta be consistent on this. So another thing that she does often, if you read like her New Age Bible versions, she attacks Hort, Westcott, almost every modern translator, and either says they are members of different cults or the occult. They're bad. They have bad moral characters, you know, something. So we can't trust any of their work. But then she'll turn around and use Kabbalists as her citations, and to help support her idea of this letter significance. And then she calls it science because.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So I guess that brings me to sort of my part in, this particular video. I'm going to take, I guess, the middle section here, but, so that brings up then in awe of thy word. This is from 2000. I can't remember if it's 2003 or 2004. It's 2003. This is the follow-up book to the book you mentioned earlier, which is The Language of the King James Bible from 1998, where you covered some things she stated there about the letter I. And in 2003, when In All Thy Word comes out, it's a massive expansion and amplification on some things that she just says a little bit more in passing in The Language of the King James Bible. But the problem here is that this book is, the In All Thy Word is relying on Kabbalist information, whether Gail wants to admit it or not, and she doesn't want to admit it. And right. she will write hit pieces against people and put them on her website under freebies for people who, you know, are critical of what she says in this book. So let's get into this. Now, before we do, Nate, I should mention that there are other videos on my channel where I go deeper into this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I will leave a link in the description for where somebody could take a deeper dive into looking at this should they choose. But this is In All of Thy Word, page 16. Okay. God built the Bible letter by letter. He gave every sound a sense. The meanings of each letter can be found in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, for example, the word place is the first word to begin with the letter P. P then often carries the meaning place throughout the Bible, Genesis 1:9. Just as God created basic chemical elements to use as building blocks to create different things, he has created letters with significations that carry that they carry to create word meanings. An appendix at the end of this book details some of the central meanings of each letter. So God's building the Bible letter by letter, and each letter carries an individual meaning. Is that your understanding of that, Nate?
Yes, and has significance and value embedded in it.
Yes. Second quote, the new field of computational linguistics. So here's where she tries to paint this as a science, right? That this isn't some esoteric thing related to Kabbalism, but this is some sort of hard and fast science that everybody accepts regarding letters. The new field of computational linguistics, with research from the nation's leading universities such as Stanford and MIT, and I put a bracket in here, she recommends work published by secular universities, Stanford, MIT, Harvard, Oxford, Princeton, Edinburgh University, University of Toronto, Thomas Jefferson University, University of Bahrain, and Columbia at least 20 different times. Mm-hmm. So she's recommending secular material while she's absolutely excoriating anyone who either disagrees with her or who doesn't see some of the stuff the same way she does.
Which, yeah, and she's made claims that every single, bar none, every single Greek and Hebrew lexicon is corrupted by these, you know, secular sources. Every dictionary is bad. Every other source to help you understand the text has been infiltrated by Satan. But then, I can go to all these, you know, heathen universities to support my stuff.
Right. So she's appealing to Stanford and MIT, has confirmed letter meanings as seen in the book of Genesis. So MIT and Stanford have confirmed letter meanings, just as the electron microscope allows scientists to see things that had always existed at the molecular level. So computer technology and computational linguistics have allowed linguists to see and uncover a pattern of meaning for letters that have always been there. This understanding could revolutionize the teaching of reading. This chapter shows how word definitions are created and retrieved automatically by the brain while simply reading faithfully the sounds of the King James Bible. So now there's science, computational linguistics, Stanford and MIT that prove all the stuff that she's asserting now regarding the King James Bible. Okay. Explore in the KJV what Harvard's Literary Guide to the Bible tells readers about the Bible's sound meaning interactions. In the 1500s, Erasmus said, God is in every syllable. That's a quote from page 16 of In All of Thy Word. So computational linguistics, Harvard, MIT, letter meanings. You need this now to understand the King James Bible. Do you want to comment on that quote, Nate?
Obviously, I don't believe Erasmus for a second met what she's trying to make.
I don't either. Excellent point.
Yeah, this is another example of where Gale is notorious for taking people's quotes, doctoring them in such a way that they never meant them to be used, and then trying to pass it off like, yep, see, Erasmus even supports me.
Right. She goes on, in searching for the meaning of a word, now watch, here we have again, Nate, the Lord allowed me to see that meaning is built into the word itself. So God's showing her things. Sounds very much like some of the stuff Gary was claiming, does it not?
Yeah, and we got some more of that coming, but I had underlined that because I saw that, and I was like, oh, there it is again.
Then notice this, God has implanted in his Holy Bible subconscious contextual associations and consequent meanings with each letter of the alphabet. These enable the reader to understand the sense of all the Bible's words. It all happens without conscious awareness. So remember I said subliminally earlier, without conscious awareness of the reader. There is nothing to learn. One merely needs to read the Bible. Pages 101 to 102. The historical and current shape of each letter is a tremendous clue to its meaning. So here we have an expansion of what you showed being said in the language of the King James Bible regarding the letter I from 1998, right?
Yeah.
So the shape of the letter is a clue to what the letter means.
Right.
How and where a letter is pronounced in the vocal organs is another major clue. A letter has more than one meaning. If you forget the sense, simply look at the letter because it pictures its meaning. So the letter, here we have again the pictogram idea, right? That the letter is picturing the meaning of the word.
Yeah.
So according to Ripplinger, the King James Bible should be understood according to the meanings of letters, for the hidden meanings of the King James letters determine the meaning of King James words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Ripplinger is deriving this from, as I said earlier, the new scientific field of letter meanings. For further information, search the King James Version for yourself, beginning in Genesis and Matthew, to gather insights about the subject from linguists who have already explored this vast new scientific field of letter meanings. Okay. So again, she's appealing to science, right?
Yeah.
And saying, science verifies this. MIT, Stanford, these linguists have verified this within what she calls the new scientific field. Okay. What's interesting, Nate, if you're going to really unpack In All of Thy Word, is you have to realize that the people that Ripplinger recommends as the practitioners of this new scientific field are essentially all Kabbalists. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of them is Margaret Magnus. And she is a, quote, PhD candidate in the formal theoretical linguistics at MIT and author of Gods of the Word, Archetypes in the Consonants. So in my other video, we go further into looking at this book, okay? But Magnus Magnus is mentioned or referenced 26 times in All Thy Word, and Gods of the Word is named 3 times and recommended by Gail Riplinger for further study. Okay. Second guy is a guy named Dr. Isaac Mosesian. He is, quote, eminent Hebrew and English linguist, the author of The Word, the dictionary that reveals the Hebrew source of English. Yeah. He is mentioned and referenced 4 times in All Thy Word, and The Word, his book, is mentioned 1 time. And then our third guy is a guy named Mark, and I'm going to pronounce it Alan Oaken or Auken. How would you say this name, Nate?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. He's, quote, sorry. Professor. He's the professor of the Department of Comparative Literature at the Hebrew Bar-Ilan University and the Jewish Research and Study Center in Paris. And he's the author of a book called Mysteries of the Alphabet. Now, Oaken is mentioned and referenced 9 times in An All of Thy Word. And his book, Mysteries of the Alphabet, is named 6 times and recommended by Riplinger for further study. Now, who are these secular authors that Riplinger cites and recommends? All 3 authors are practitioners of Jewish Kabbalah, an esoteric discipline and school of thought in Jewish mysticism. So these guys that she's appealing to establish this new scientific field of letter meanings, they are essentially all of them that she's quoting and relying on to make many of these arguments. They're right. All 3 of them are Kabbalists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's clear that Riplinger is aware that particularly Magnus, this is the worst offender. Okay.
Right.
Is a Kabbalist from her twin warning. So there's 2 times that Riplinger warns about some of this. Okay. And notice, and by the way, Riplinger will say, well, these 2 warnings are sufficient to cover myself, that I'm not promoting Kabbalism.
Right.
But she's heavily relying, as we already saw, if you do just an analysis of the data, she's right. relying on Magnus 26 times.
Right.
The book is named 3 times, and she recommends it heavily for further study, right?
Right.
So on page 105, she says, Magnus was so awed by discoveries like this, which so evidence a phenomenon beyond mere human design, that she entitled 1 short work, Gods of the Word. Okay. And is this archetypes or archetypes?
Yeah, I don't know. I only ever see it read. Nobody ever says that in real life.
Yeah, I've heard it pronounced multiple
archetype,
ways. So
archetype.
Archetype, I'm going to go with. Okay. I've heard it pronounced many ways by different people.
Right.
She scanned the shelves of her Ivy League universities for some ancient explanation to print on her book's pages. Sadly, only sayings of sages and New Agers served as gauges and gave her only counterfeit answers. So she's aware, Nate, that Magnus is a Kabbalist.
Yeah.
Okay. Yet she's recommending her book for further study. Okay.
Right.
And relying heavily on the things that Magnus says to justify
right.
her conclusions regarding the shapes of letters,
right.
the meanings of letters, what all of this means. Okay.
Right.
Then on page 1161, okay, there's this warning, but it's in the fine print. So I'm going to scroll down and read it from the screenshot. So this is a screenshot from page 1116, Nate, and you can see how the main body of this text is this larger font here, right? But then starting in the brackets right here, there's this smaller, I'll call it a fine print warning, okay?
Yeah.
The internet can be a real web. Be careful to limit your study to that of verifiable science. So is Magnus verifiable science, or is she a New Age mystic?
Right.
Because she's verifiable science when Gail needs her to make her arguments,
right.
but then she's a New Age mystic as soon as she doesn't want people to,
right.
you know, associate her with Magnus.
Right. And the problem is here, you have her accepting these people's conclusions about letters. So she's accepting their research and accepting their conclusion, but their premises, how they are even setting this up to get to that conclusion, she's rejecting and saying, no, I don't want to buy into that. So you have an issue now, logically, where The premises are false, according to Gale, but she's still accepting the conclusion as true without question. And so why would you accept their conclusion without question if how they got there was wrong?
Yeah. No, that's a good point, right? So be careful, she says, be careful to limit your study to that of verifiable science. Avoid mystical New Age information that counterfeits the truth of God, Kabbalah.
Yeah.
Like, that's an amazing statement to me, given right. what's being argued in the totality of the book, right?
Right.
They change the truth of God into a lie and even worship God's creation, Romans 1:25. Esoterics have their own nonsense meanings ascribed to letters. So the esoterics have nonsense yeah. meanings, but Gail's relying right. on Magnus to give her meanings, particularly of the letter right. S, but you're not supposed to listen right. or pay attention to this because it's Kabbalism.
Right.
It's totally well, confused.
That's the thing. Her conclusions mirror and are the same as these Kabbalists and esoterics. They have the same conclusions about the letter stuff, the shapes, the meaning, the significance, the value. They have the same argument, and she's just like, well, I don't accept the mystical way of how they got to that, but I agree with their conclusion again. It's just stupid. Right.
So they have their own nonsense meanings ascribed to letters. These should be avoided. But just because New Age vegans worship Mother Earth is no reason to quit eating vegetables. So just because these people might from time to time say dumb things,
right.
you can still rely on their work to give you reasonably right. reliable conclusions about right. the meaning of letters in the King James right. Bible.
Right. Just as okay. long as they don't write a modern version or something, then they would be totally evil.
Likewise, just because esoterics see in letters gods that are not there, this should not deter scriptural and scholarly investigation into the Word of God. So this is amazing to me.
Right.
Right. So this whole thing is legitimate. But anybody who looks up a word in an English dictionary right. or tries to find out what the right. meaning of a word was in the right. early 17th century when the King James Bible was translated, they are now engaging in illegitimate practice and should be censured. It's right. ridiculous.
Well, it's asinine to say, yeah, you can't go to Christian resources. So people who have written lexicons or dictionaries that are Christians – you can't read theirs because they're corrupted, but you can go to these Kabbalists and read their research, and that's totally cool.
And she knows they're Kabbalists by right. by her. It's so like so. Anyone who again, so back to one of our main points. Yeah. Anyone who's going to ridicule Gary,
right,
and yet support Gale is totally confused and is completely. In the dark, possibly, or is not wanting to admit what is really going on in all right. thy word.
Right.
So despite this fine print warning here, Gale quotes Magnus and her book 29 times. She uses her work to define the letter S in the King James Bible, calling it, quote, sound linguistic theory, and recommends her book for its great linguistics, mm-hmm. even though she knows full well that the author is a Kabbalist. Right. Okay, oh. So Gale's thin warning about Kabbalah sources is incongruent with her reliance upon the works of Mosesen, Aukin, and most notably Magnus. And then for a thorough treatment on Kabbalism in the writings of Gale Riflinger, see the video, Does the King James Bible Have a Built-in Dictionary? Do letter shapes, sounds, and meanings define King James Bible words? So in that video, I go into a much more detailed analysis of what Riflinger says in All Thy Word about some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So did you want to comment, Nate, on anything before we pivot now to showing yeah. the connection between Gale and Gary on the idea of Kabbalism and some right. of these esoteric practices? Yeah.
Just as the audience, again, looking at those signs of obvious lies or manipulation is, on the one hand, she's telling you don't go read the Webster's Dictionary to define your King James Bible words, but you can go trust this Kabbalist to tell you what the letter S means in your King James Bible and use that to understand your King James Bible. So use the esoteric Kabbalist. Don't use the Christian.
But don't be a vegan and eat right. woolly vegetables.
Well, I'm with her on that one. So.
but, yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me. this whole thing is just so amazing to me. I'll just move on, okay? So why would Gail Riplinger sell or promote Gary's book as a resource one can trust? Remember the screenshots earlier in this video. The reason is because Gary also heavily utilized Kabbalist methods when he wrote Concealed for Christians for the glory of God.
Right.
In a video released just recently, November 16, 2024, on Robert Breaker's YouTube channel, Gary accepts Gale's built-in dictionary concept and states that he has read New Age versions. So this is at the 29:33 mark through the 29:58 mark. Gary says, you have no need for any of this because God has a built-in dictionary in his Bible, in his Holy Bible. And we go through many of the features that are, so he's talking about the museum there in Phoenix that are on the table. We see the sinister nature of Satan and why he's pursuing the 1611 King James Bible so aggressively, even desperately. He is desperate to break the scripture. Tomorrow, our tour is to start explaining it all to you. Amen. Then Robert Breaker says, have you read Gail Riplinger's book, New Age Versions? And Gary responds and says, I love it. Mm-hmm. So he's clearly in the same space, right? So let's talk about Concealed from Christians. In chapter 26, which is titled Words, Gary states the following on pages 130 to 131. He says, quote, Satan is very aware of this coding and that his name is also coded with a double portion of death. Okay. The word Satan appears exactly 55 times in the King James Bible. He must break the scripture. Even his name into English in the King James Bible is a binding death certification with the simple English gematria. So here we go with gematria. A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, etc. The value of the word Satan equals 55. So Satan equals 55 using gematria, showing you again that English is God's destination language for the Bible. By way of guilty association, Judas also equals the value of 55 in English gematria. The word devils also appears exactly 55 times in the King James Bible. Notice how you go from gematria to figure out 55 to something occurring 55 times.
Right.
Like the word devils, and this is all proving something, okay?
Right.
They are also coded to die the death. Therefore, they must help Satan break the scripture. Will you help Satan also, or will you stand firm by faith on the finished Bible, the King James Bible? Any comment, Nate?
No, I think we covered a lot of that. Obviously, we're showing gematria there. More esoteric cult stuff,
which again is the connection between Gail and Gary, right? They're in the same lane, in the same space. So it's inconsistent to criticize Gary and not criticize Gail because they're engaging in the same fundamental practices, right?
Right.
So twice in the citation above, Roverino mentions English gematria, however you say this, to support his conclusions. The Oxford English Dictionary defines gematria as follows. This is a quote from the OED, a Kabbalist method of interpreting the Hebrew scripture by interchanging words whose letters have the same numerical value when added.
Right.
So the dictionary is saying that gematria is a Kabbalist method of interpreting scripture. Now, isn't that interesting, Nate, when Gail is engaging in Kabbalist interpretation by looking at the shape of letters?
Right. Yeah, I think that was on the... Yeah, I think that's on when I was looking at Encyclopedia Britannica online, they were saying the same thing. It's Kabbalism and gematria go hand in hand.
Yeah. Oxford Languages defines it as a Kabbalist method of interpreting the Hebrew scriptures. That's the same definition, isn't it?
Yep.
No, it's a little different. On numerical value of words based on those of their constituent letters. So that's the same thing, right? So you take the letters, you assign numbers, and you add them up, right? Here's a Wikipedia just briefly about it's notice it's numerology.
Yeah.
So gematria is a form of numerology.
Right.
By other people who are investigating this, right?
Mm-hmm.
and you use the letters and the alphabets as a cipher, and you decipher different things, right? So notice that this is clearly identifying gematria as a form of numerology. Now, why is that interesting? These definitions are interesting given Gary's statements about numerology. He says, quote, God is no less the author of numbers than he is of letters. As the author, he is the one to ascribe their meaning. When we come to God's word to know and understand their meanings according to his discerning way, we are righteous. This is called number-ology. So he's inventing a word here, okay? Yeah. Which means words about numbers. Now, I cannot find a single source. Maybe it's out there. I've looked. I cannot find a single source that defines number-ology as words about numbers other than what Gary states here.
Right.
So at this point, it seems to me to be a private interpretation.
Right. It's coining something.
So then he says, if we turn deviant with numbers or superstitious, which is a little bit ironic, with numbers, it's called numerology, and this is evil, okay? And that's from a quote from 141 to 142. Gary's statement about numerology being evil is interesting given the definitions of gematria cited above.
Right.
Gematria is a Kabbalist form of numerology.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, gematria numerology plays a major role in Gary's interpretive grid.
Right.
On page 142, he states the following regarding number and word bonding. He says, Jesus was wrapped in numbers. We saw in chapter 23 of this book, all of the threes he will come to fulfill according to Levitical priesthood and the offerings according to the scriptures. By the way, I don't dispute that Christ is fulfilling things regarding the Levitical priesthood and the offerings, but I don't need the numbers to tell me that. I can read basic English, right?
Right.
Once again, in this, we see how numbers and words have relationship to each other and refinement of meaning. Three is a number, and Jesus is the word. This is number and word bonding. So, why would Gale recommend and sell Gary's book? Because Gary is engaging in the same type of argumentation that Gale was in All of Thy Word.
Right.
So again, you cannot criticize Gary and not criticize Gale for doing the same things.
Right. Yeah, they're both in the Jewish Kabbalist esoteric readings. One is focusing a little bit more heavily on the number side of it, the other more on the letter side of it, but they're two sides of the same coin.
Right. So we got to read this. It's a little bit lengthy, but this is citation from pages 144 to 145 from In All of Thy Word, and it demonstrates how prevalent gematria numerology is in Gary's interpretive grid. He says, quote, in this book, there has been many foregone conclusions and confirmation as a result of counting. So again, this is all based on numerology, right? Which have enhanced meaning and guided wisdom into the King James Bible as the very word of God. We have sampled the counting of books of the Bible, chapters of the Bible, words of the Bible, letters of the Bible. We have sampled counting the simple gematria of the destination language in English. By the way, Nate, will you run a search on Blue Letter Bible to see if the word gematria is in the King James Bible for me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. While you do that, I'm going to keep going. All these have contributed together toward okay, interesting. So to use gematria to interpret the King James Bible is an extra biblical methodology of interpretation. It's not germane to the Bible itself.
Right.
Agree?
Oh, yeah.
All of these have contributed together towards knowledge in the matter of the finished King James Bible. English, as the destination language for the matured Bible, is a divine language. God wrote the English language, specifically with the simple English gematria. This, of course, means that God has also numbered every letter of the English language. This is by no means a first for God. God wrote the Hebrew language also, the seed of the Bible, the Old Testament. When he did this, unlike English, he left it without numeric symbols. but not without numeric values. So this is important to pay attention to what he says here. God numbered every single letter of the Hebrew language, building the value of the numbers into the letters. Very similar to what Gale says, right?
Right.
Therefore, gematria was employed by God in the seed. That would be Hebrew. Right. Here's an example of a Hebrew Old Testament scripture that has no numbers in it, only letters doubling as numbers. 1 Kings 10:14. Right. Now, the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of right. gold. So notice that the word, this is the word six.
Right.
Not the number six.
Correct.
The word hundred, not the number hundred. Okay.
Right.
So the weight of the gold.
Also notice it does not prove what he just claimed. God does not use a letter to symbolize a number. So it does his what he just used doesn't even prove his claim. He's using words to denote value, not letters. So he didn't use the letter S to denote the number whatever. Like gematria says. So it's not A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, D equals 4. He's using a word to give that value. So it doesn't even support Gary's claim there.
So, yeah, 6 is a combination of three English letters to make a word, which represents which represents in print the number 6.
Right.
Letters doubling as numbers. That you're right. That's not what's happening here.
Right. You have words.
Yeah. The weight of, and by the way, the every word of God is pure, right?
Right.
Where does it say anything about the letters to the degree that is being argued and put forth here? Okay.
Right.
The weight of the gold was 666 talents, 666 talents. But no number appears in the verse, only letters carrying numeric value. Then I say 666 is just writing out in numerals what the text says in words, right?
Right.
So God wrote the Hebrew language, yet also the growth of the Bible, the New Testament, and he did the same thing again here. Here he left the language also without numeric symbols, and like Hebrew, ascribed a numeric value to each letter of the alphabet. Gematria was employed by God in the growth. Here is an example of a Greek New Testament scripture, even the mate of 1 Kings 10:14, that has no numbers in it, only letters doubling as numbers. So this is Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 603 and 6, Revelation 13:18. The number of the beast is 666, but no numbers appear in this verse, only alpha numeric value. But it's not. In both cases, the Hebrew seed of the Greek growth, the numbers are present in the words. Now I have this bracket. No, this is a bait and switch. This is not the same thing. This is very deceptive,
mm-hmm.
which you were just pointing out, right?
Right.
So reverse wise, many words are being spoken in numbers, such as the number 1611, as in the 1611 King James Holy Bible, which we will see in the next chapter. God has reverenced gematria with these two scriptures. That's reverence, right? Yeah. With these two scriptures that mate for a testimony.
That sounds like Kabbalism.
Sure does. It has been noted several times in this book that Jesus is represented by the number 8. As much as possible, we are building revelation on top of revelation for the sake of spiritual illumination and understanding. So it's very clear, Nate, that he's relying on gematria to teach doctrine and to extract meaning and proof.
Right.
But the King James Bible is God's word because of all of this stuff that he's talking about.
Right.
In the New Testament Greek, the word Jesus carries the alpha numeric value 888. Okay. In his name appears exactly 8 verses in 8 chapters in 8 books of the exalted King James Bible. So that's how he's getting 888. This number 888 is strengthened and overflowing, I think I have a typo here, power into these words. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. John 5:43. And just to end this long quote here, Jesus is the anointed one who has come, quote, in his name. And the King James Bible is the anointed Bible that has come in his name. In both cases, we must not receive another. The King James Bible has inherited its interaction and role-playing of words and numbers in relationship. Is that Kabbalist, Nate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then he says, even gematria life. for the genes and the seed right. and the growth of the line of the Bible. This is absolutely right. Kabbalist esoteric mysticism.
Yeah, because remember, one of the teachings of Kabbalism was that there are these little gods that live within letters, and as they get next to each other in words, they're either fighting or fornicating and creating meaning and value.
They do stuff. They mate. Right. Right.
Yep, fighting or fornicating, they're doing one of them.
So I'll just end my part here. Gematria life, and I have the question mark, really? How much more proof does one need? Gary, and this is your slippery slope, Gary is the next step in the evolution and application of the Kabbalist concepts and methodology outlined in Gail Ripplinger's In All of Thy Word.
Yeah.
So you have any comments on that?
Yeah, so I think there's obvious ties with both of them to Kabbalism. Like I said, I think Gary goes more on the number side, and Gail goes more on the letter side, but they're still both Kabbalism at its core. So to accept one and reject the other is just silly.
And it's clear to me that, to your point, if Gail's main focus is on the letters, Gary's main focus he's taking things about letters and he's turning it into numerical things.
Right.
And so they're clearly related concepts and the methodologies are in the same space, whether the practitioners here want to admit it or not.
Right.
So.
All right. So then we get to the next point. We looked at Gary's claims of almost messianic claims that he's called of God to do all this stuff. He's some kind of a prophet or an apostle in the modern age, and his work is directly from God. One of the things that I leveled against our friend in Georgia was that Gail also makes claims about revelations that she's gotten from God. We saw one in passing in the quote earlier, but then we saw some more. So she had a debate with James White, and you can see the link there to YouTube to go watch it. But at the 8-minute mark of her debate on YouTube, she was asked by White where she got her acrostic algebra, which you see. And that's I couldn't get her acrostic algebra quite right, because in step 2 and in step 4, I believe, she does some crossing out, and I couldn't figure out how to put a slash through some of the letters. But I'll try to show that in a minute. But she was asked where she got this acrostic algebra, because it's not algebra, and she waffles but admits God gave it to her one night. So God gave it to her one night. She goes, and when he immediately is like, whoa, what do you mean by that? What do you mean God gave it to you one night? And she like goes into all this trying to get around answering it. But eventually in that, she claims that God gave her the specific formula. Because he asked, like, why are you putting these particular letters together of these words and stuff? And so God gave her that formula. And then he goes, okay, wait, why do you specifically use NSAV in line 1 and 2, step 1 and 2, when even on the cover of the New Age Bible version, she uses NASB versus V. So even on her cover, she uses B, but when she does her algebra, she uses V. And she accidentally says, well, that's what God calls it. God calls it the NSAV.
Yeah, I've heard that I've heard that exchange many, many times, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. So in Rapid Fire, she admits three different times that God revealed this to her, this new algebra. He gave her the specific formula, and he calls the NSAV that. And so you ask, well, how do you know what God calls this specific English Bible version as its, you know, acrostic shortening? So I took her acrostic algebra, which is on page 149, and I'll try to show it because there are some crossings out here. Can you see the crossing outs?
Yeah, well, on this broadcast screen, I think we can – you've done enough to at least document it. We'll just.
So I went through and I plugged in the alphanumerical values for all the letters represented here because that's what you do with gematria. So I plugged in all the alphanumerics and then ran these like you would normal algebra. And wouldn't you know it, Brian, X never equaled the same number. Actually, it equaled a different number every single time. So, and then obviously with the crossing out, she's breaking rules of math, like we saw with Gary and some of these other guys. You can't cross out things on the same side of the equal sign. You don't cancel out things on the same side of equal signs. You got to do operations on the opposite side. So bad, really bad math. And again, she's doing the same thing Gary did, employing math, saying, oh, hey, I'm going to bring math into this conversation because math is, you know, one of these sources of truth. I'm going to break the rules of math, but I'm going to pretend like it still supports my point.
Well, and I would say, though, all those are great points on the math analysis, but, like, it's the same thing.
Right. It's
God's
exactly
giving,
the same.
God's giving this to her. In an earlier video, we showed how Gary claims that he's in, that the Epistle Dedicatory to the 1611 predicts his coming. His coming as the apostle of the 1611 is predicted by the Epistle Dedicatory.
Yeah.
This is the same stuff going on here with Gale.
Oh, absolutely. So she claims God gave her this algebra, gave her the formula, gave her how he calls the NSAB, the NSAV. That's why she knows to use it in her thing. Then in a video of her testimony in a Q&A at the 11-minute mark, you can get that on YouTube. She also sells it on her website. So this is actually still for sale on her website, this video. She says this quote, which was interesting. She was... she's told everybody that they're just misrepresenting her. Everyone who says, hey, you said some weird stuff, like, oh, no, you're just all lying. Nobody's ever, she hasn't touched this one yet that I've seen. She only touches the one in that article we'll get to in a minute. But she says, I used to look out the window at the little old ladies and think, oh, if I could just rake leaves or if I could get out of bed. But what God did over the period of 6 years, and I said, to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know I quit my job to do this research for you. Why would you put me in such an incapacitated state where I can't do research? And the Lord showed me over the period of years, it was not going to be me and research and library. It was going to be the Holy Spirit showing me things. Now, Brian, how can you misrepresent that statement?
Yeah, it's a pretty clear statement, right? Like, I mean, you know, it's like when I read the Bible and I put together two verses and they make sense to me,
right?
That's the illumination of the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
But that's not what she's talking about.
No, we're not talking about understanding Scripture by reading Scripture, praying, and having the Spirit in us. She's talking about making a work. She's creating.
She's talking about writing New Age Bible verses.
Right. So just like Gary claimed about his work and his stuff he's doing in England and everything else that God is bringing him to do, she's saying the same thing. My work that I did, the Holy Spirit brought to me and showed me. And he is going to take me aside, just like he did Ezekiel. Ezekiel was on one side for a year and on the other side for a while. He was dumb and everything else. And the Holy Spirit was going to do the work. And this was going to be his book. It wasn't going to be my book. Okay? So as you go through the rest of that quote, she's talking about how much pain she was in. And there's clearly, obviously, lying going on. So she's embellishing a crazy amount because she's saying she was in so much pain, she couldn't open her eyes at all. She couldn't even get out of bed. Couldn't even move, but yet somehow for 6 years, she's sitting in her chair, white knuckling, and she said she can't even use her thumbs, but somehow she's holding onto a desk and writing the book and doing this work for, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours a day while she can't even get out of bed. But then she's
It definitely seems incongruent.
Right. All right. I think I skipped the page. Okay. So then she keeps going down. Let's see. Where did it go?
Are you looking for this bold about women?
Yeah. So she starts fighting with God. She says, I had this fight with God. So she's talking with God every night and going back and forth about whether or not she can get up and write because she's in so much pain. She can't do anything. And God's telling her, get up, do the book, write the book. And he says, women make fine secretaries. That's all we need here. And she laughs and says, so every night for 6 years, we had this little 15-minute battle. So again, she's talking with God, which, okay, this could be metaphoric or whatever else. She's just wrestling with herself. But it's important to look at, like, she's saying, like, the secretary thing, because that comes up later in a quote, another quote. But when she gets down here, she says, quote, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, laughs. I'd be okay. I'd say, okay, Lord, you know. And then the devil whispered in my ear, and he would tell me, if you quit working on that book, if you throw away what you've found, I'll leave you alone, and you won't be in any pain.
So she's healed now, I guess.
Right. So, and she would say, get behind me, Satan. We're going forward with this thing. So, again, this stuff, let's just give her the benefit of the doubt and say she's just being metaphoric or something with this. But at its core, it still has the idea that God is bringing or approving this work at a minimum. Even if we give her the most benefit of the doubt possible and look past everything she said, at a minimum, she's saying God has put his stamp of approval on my book. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit was going to show her things. The book would be God's book. Gail would be the secretary of the book. God and Gail argued nightly, and Satan promised her relief if she stopped working and threw that book away. So all of that, again, just goes back to this is somehow divinely inspired or at least approved at a minimum. So the infamous cloud quote from the End Times and Victorious Christian Living article, she was quoted saying, daily, during the 6 years needed for this investigation, the Lord miraculously brought the needed material and resources, much like the ravens fed Elijah. Each discovery was not the result of effort on my part, but the direct hand of God, so much so that I hesitated to even put my name on the book. Consequently, I used G.A. Ripplinger, God as the author, Ripplinger as the secretary. Okay, so... In this quote, she tacitly admits, when pressed about this, she tacitly does admit this is a true quote. This is actually a legitimate quote, and this is one I asked her about specifically when I sent her an email and asked, do you have that article? Because she claims everyone's misquoting her and misrepresenting that quote. So I said, you know, can you provide us with that original article so we can look at it for ourselves, see it in its context, and see if everyone is actually misrepresenting you or not? Now, she offers two different ways that she wants to fix this quote so that it's more palatable for people.
Let me just stop you there real quick. So, in other words, she's aware that sounds really bad for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's aware of it because people have been criticizing her since the 90s when she said it. So, and yeah. So she's written a lot of hit pieces on people who have used it and said
you're next, Nate.
Yeah. Well, she hit pieced me in her email, but I'm not anybody important. So I doubt she's going to waste her time writing a actual hit piece on me. Maybe after these videos come out, she might, though.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't, whatever. So she tacitly admits that the quote is a true quote, but tries to fix it two different ways. So back in the 90s, she said that, well, what happened was they left out two words, to me. So insinuating that this was a subjective thing. I felt like it was God's book. That's what it felt like to me. But again, that does nothing to change it. It, you're still claiming it's God's book. You're just not doing it for everyone else, just to you. God only told you it was his book. But it, right. again, it doesn't change anything. And then after that, more recently, she's made the claim that, well, what really happened was the next line that they leave out was a verse about humility, insinuating that, well, I was just saying that to be humble and like give God glory kind of thing. It wasn't really about that. But these are inconsistent, you know, why are you trying to solve it one way? And I don't think it worked. That's why it didn't work. People didn't buy it because it doesn't change anything, even if it's subjective. So then she tries to go, well, it's actually about how humble I am, which, yeah, I've never known her to be anything but extremely humble. So that tracks. And so they're inconsistent, granting her this. Okay, so let's grant all these quotes that we've given. They're all just metaphoric. They're all just, you know, some kind of play on words. She didn't mean any of it like that. We'll grant it for the sake of charity. What does it change? Well, theologically, you're still invoking divine approval, and that's no better than divine authorship, in my opinion. You know, you're still like the cult leaders are doing. They still say, I have a divine appointment from God, or my work is inspired from God, or God brought me this material. If you want to get to God, you need my stuff to get there. I don't see any difference between Gail and these cult leaders who are doing essentially the same thing and invoking this divine approval. God approves of me and what I've written. My book is approved by God. God put his stamp of approval on this. So if you want to know what you need to know, you need my book.
Right.
Sociologically, this is a tactic, like I said, used by cult leaders regularly to manipulate people. And it's simply another way of invoking divine favor. God agrees with me, so should you, or you'll be questioning God. And we saw this exact same thing out of Gary, right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely there. Yeah.
All right, so you want to try to wrap some of this up then?
So when it comes to both Gail and Gary, so what we've seen throughout these five videos is that both of them are claiming to have extra biblical revelations, mm-hmm. okay? Both of them are claiming that God gave them specific material and information specific to the books that they're writing or the things that they're teaching. So there's both of them are making that same claim. So it would right. be inconsistent for somebody to make a video that's completely ripping on Gary for making some of the claims that Gary makes, but then turn around and give Gail a pass when she does the same thing, right?
Right.
Similarly, they both use esoteric Jewish Kabbalism to interpret and promote the King James Bible. Gary did it in his first book, which is sold on Gail's site.
Yep.
And recommended as a trusted source, and Gail did it in her book, In All of Thy Word. Now, Gail wants to say that anyone who claims Phil Stringer, myself, Barbara Aho, anyone who claims that the book is full of esoteric Jewish Kabbalist reasoning, that they're completely misrepresenting her, that they're lying, that the fine print warning was sufficient. It's right. not sufficient. There's 29 times that she quotes and cites Magnus, as well as the other three Jewish esoteric Kabbalists, to justify her points. And that was written in 2003. Then in 2019, Gary comes out with his book, his first book, Concealed for Christians, which is relying on numerology and gematria to make its arguments to defend the King James Bible. So they are occupying the same space. They are using the same argumentation. So again, it's inconsistent to criticize Gary and not at the same time criticize Gail, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm not going to read, Nate, all the definitions. These are just here for our purposes, right? So, and then I guess just to end things, right, it's very ironic. So it's, I'll read this statement and then I'll scroll back up. So, it's theologically and logically inconsistent to make videos warning people about Gary Roverino and support Gail's work at the same time. It just won't work. It's inconsistent.
Right.
And then in the major stroke of interesting developments. Here we have the book of the gentleman who criticized Gary being sold right next to Gary's on Gale's site, and they're both equally trusted and recommended sources,
right,
according to what Gale Ripplinger is selling on her website.
Yeah. So, yeah, it, like I said, I think this is, for us, it's troubling because, yes, Gary may be less accepted in the greater space, but Gale is traditionally been widely accepted and listened to. And again, she's claiming the exact same things. She's got all the Kabbalism there. She's got the divine revelation stuff there. You know, she's got all these inconsistencies. You can see the signs of, you know, deception and manipulation there. All the classic red flags that you would see. And you got both of them. Gale and Gary both have all these same things going on. And yet you got guys that are going to support her while dumping on him. It's sad state of affairs for the church to say that we're not looking at this stuff from a biblical perspective. Instead, we're looking to all these Jewish cult leaders to try to look at our Bible from their perspective rather than judging them against what the Bible clearly says. You know, we've completely reversed how we're supposed to study the Word of God and look at the Word of God.
Yeah, and I, you know, I certainly don't want to, we should make this clear, like, the fellow who was critical of Gary, we're not suggesting that he's promoting Kabbalism or agrees with it, but yet he's maintaining allegiances to individuals in contradictory ways, where if the logic that was used to say this guy's work needs to be warned against, the same should be being done for Gale's work because they are occupying the same space.
Right.
So. And of course, Gary has definitely went a whole lot further.
Yeah.
With the release of his new book last month. So,
right.
Nate, I think in this series, you know, we've covered a lot of ground. Again, I would expect there's going to be some folks out there that don't necessarily like that we've covered this ground.
Yeah.
But I feel like, as I said earlier in one of the videos, I know of a pastor friend of mine. I'm not going to say who he is or where he is, but he has told me, he has reached out to me that there have been people that have left his church over some of the things that Gary Roverino has been teaching, because the pastor of the church felt that they were kind of out there and a little bit too extreme, and he would not embrace those lines of argumentation. So the people left the assembly over it. And so, this is, in my mind, a problem, and I think we've endeavored to try to accent some of the arguments that are being used, the techniques that are being used, and try to point out for the viewer why we have a problem with a lot of this material.
Right.
So,
Well,
Nate, would you mind closing the video by giving the gospel for the audience, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've held with us all this time, you know, I got to give you a commendation right there, pat on the back, if you've hung with us. This stuff is serious, but even more serious is where you're going to spend eternity once you die. And if you haven't trusted the gospel for your salvation, and the gospel is simply this, that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, came to this earth, died on a cross for your sins, was buried in days, rose again. And the Bible tells us that if you believe in that and trust in that exclusively, God will give you eternal life as a free gift, as a present free gift, starting then. You don't have to wait for it until afterwards. It starts at that moment. No works necessary. Nothing else can make you right before God except for that, trusting that gospel. So if you haven't, please trust that today and reach out to someone like Brian or some of the other pastors in your area and ask them more about that, and they can show you from the Word of God. So until next time, I love y'all and I'm praying for you.
All right, everybody. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you sometime in the future. Appreciate you tuning in and listening to this series of videos. If you've enjoyed this, please like it, share it, leave a comment, and we'll see you when we see you.